Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
And so it begins. Pittsburgh pursuit of the 7th Lombardi Trophy. The season comes ushered in on the shoulders of an excited but expectant Steelers fan base. Many view this year as the last in an era where the window has been wide open to the possibility of a renewed dynasty. Even though in the 13-year Ben era, this team has won 2 Super Bowls, 2 conference championships, 7 division titles, and has never gone below 500. Steelers Nation somehow feels cheated. Maybe the bar was forever set 42 years ago when Pittsburgh began its streak, winning a superlative 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. That success, now an ominous shadow over this current team, possessors of a king's ransom in offensive riches. Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, September 3rd, 2018, episode 54. This is Tom in the Washington, D.C. Outpost, and Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. Nicholas, so it begins.
Okay, so I have 4 main ideas, 4 main thoughts on this whole Josh Dobbs situation. The first one is, he improved this year. Yeah. Is that saying a lot? No, that's not saying a lot at all. Last year, he was a glorified tackling dummy with just an inefficient jugs machine for a throwing arm. He could throw the ball past the line of scrimmage, but it didn't usually go to anyone, at least anyone on the Steelers team. So did he improve on that? Definitely. Well, not by a ton, but he got a little bit better. What I liked about him in that game against the Panthers, it was cool seeing him ball out like that against those semi-professional football players who won't be in the NFL this year. The majority of them. I did think he did some cool things there in terms of you could tell that dude was playing for his job. He was playing for his life. He was taking huge hits to the dome, like you were saying, and he was launching the ball downfield. He went for the John Elway touchdown helicopter dive at the end zone. And that was all cool, and that's great, but that shouldn't be enough to gain a job. I mean, I guess we can both agree that he improved this year. Maybe you can relate that back to, hey, Landry was horrific his first 2 years. He was still horrific at this time, even in preseason football. So you could make the argument, hey, he already improved in this area. He could keep improving, and he offers some athleticism that we don't have on other quarterbacks. And sometimes that can be useful for a backup.
So you use the word athleticism, and I'm wondering if we're just going to do the wildcat. Because if you think about it, if Landry wasn't there or I'm sorry, if Josh wasn't like there, there's no escapability. There's no escapability without Josh Dobbs. So maybe it's right. A new strategic offensive strategy.
Yeah, you just have to throw the ball to the open guy. And that, I mean, that's...
No, I'm just saying he's going to run it.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe not a wildcat because that's the running back who sits back there. But like a read option, I actually kind of like that idea from a backup. I sort of feel like it's like what you said before. People got to learn what to expect with a backup. And this whole Nick Foles thing, they want to make a big deal about it. How horrific was Nick Foles before that NFC Championship game? He was bad. They were talking about putting Nate Sudfeld in. And then he played great NFC Championship and played one of the best Super Bowls a quarterback has ever played. And what has he done in this preseason? He has been terrible. The Eagles offense hasn't even scored with him on 10-plus drives, right?
So Nick Foles had the game like the Bishop did in Caddyshack, if you're old enough to remember that.
That's right.
Storm, God, sending lightning. Exactly. Right.
He did. And that's why it's one of the coolest stories ever, because this wasn't like some diamond in the rough. Just something about Nick Foles. Sometimes he just balls out and throws seven touchdown passes like he did in his first start, or beats the Patriots in the Super Bowl, or sometimes he plays like he's playing now in the preseason.
So maybe it's when you have nothing to lose, and Josh Dobbs was at the end of his rope.
Yeah.
And as you said, he balled out.
He did. But let's look at what he did the rest of the preseason. He was terrible. Not only he wasn't just average or mediocre, he was terrible. Those two unbelievable James Washington touchdown catches, those both should have been interceptions. Those were thrown really poorly. And then I think he also underthrew James Washington when he had 10 yards on his defender for a 70-yard touchdown in that game, right? And what did he do the next game? Came out, threw a pick six on his first play, right? I mean, he played bad in the preseason. Did he improve? Yes. He was no longer the worst quarterback. He was just a bottom 5 or 10. That's probably an exaggeration. It wasn't bottom 5 or 10. But you look at that, like, he didn't even play that well in this preseason. And then when he played against the Panthers, it was like, yeah, that was pretty good.
So I'll just ask, I mean, are they trying to save money? What did they save, $3 million because we don't have Landry anymore?
Yeah, it's negligible at that point.
So it's a conundrum. It is really interesting. We'll never know the answer. I agree with you. I can't believe they traded Landry, or they dropped Landry for Josh Dobbs. So Josh Dobbs had a...
Landry's a starter or anything like that. But here's my next point about him. It's in regards to the Steelers going all in to chase a championship this year. We talked about this a lot before the draft, before free agency and all that stuff. What are the Steelers going to do when it comes to adding pieces to the cupboard? Are they going to go all in to try and get another trophy in the cabinet? Or are they going to try and worry about 3-4 years from now, right? So everything they've done this summer has really just... it's been a failure. They haven't tried to do that at all. It seems like they're trying to plan for the future. I mean, the obvious one is the Mason Rudolph pickup, which seems ridiculous. Honestly, listen, I get it. Yes, it makes some sort of sense if you want to plan for the future. But let's be honest, once Ben's out of here, I mean, everyone's leaving at the same time too, right? This is our last chance. That's what we talked about. They did not find a way to secure legitimate starters at middle linebacker and safety. We're sitting here going into the first game with basically the same problem we had in the last game, right? John Bostic obviously is better than Sean Spence, but he has not been good in the preseason. Morgan Burnett has been injured the whole time. He's basically Mike Mitchell. We just brought in another kind of slower veteran, right? Le'Veon Bell, they couldn't get him signed to a deal because they didn't want to infringe on their guaranteed money tradition, right? So they lost one of the best players in the NFL. And then now you can make the argument that Dobbs is going to improve like Landry did. And I totally believe that. I mean, he showed some improvement. Now he could keep going. But my thing is, Ben, you know, he's been kept upright for the past few years, but he'll miss one or two games a year where you have to come in for him because he hurts his foot or something like that. And I'd rather have Landry Jones coming in to do that than Josh Dobbs or Mason Rudolph at this point. And it's just a bummer to me that it's like, I wonder if they just don't want to admit that they were wrong in drafting Josh Dobbs, or if they really think that's their best idea for someone who could go in and win a game if Ben has to miss one this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, as we've said before, is this all business, or is there emotion and ego involved? And clearly there's emotion and ego involved. I'll ask you, so moving on to the running back. So Jalen Samuels made the team, and Fitz the Fumbler got cut.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure he's on the – I'm not sure Jalen Samuels showed enough. Yeah, I'm not sure Jalen Samuels showed me enough. I mean, I think Fitz, multi-dimensional guy, can return kicks, and he's an adequate running back.
It's interesting, yeah. I mean, he's cheap. I mean, Samuels, that's another one where we thought he played well, but we haven't seen everything in practice, but usually you hear about guys, and it didn't sound like he was lighting the world on fire, and that sort of sounds like another one where they're like, I mean, how much better is he at catching passes than Fitz Toussaint? Fitz Toussaint's a pretty good pass catcher.
Yeah, I guess looking for the future, saving a couple bucks, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, they want their guy in there. We drafted him, he needs to stick. Moving on to wide receiver, if you had any more about the wide receiver, running back, I was going to move on to wide receiver.
Yeah, go for it.
So, I was doing an analysis of the rosters over the last 3 years. We only have two of the six receivers that we had two years ago, Antonio and DHB. Actually, one receiver and DHB. Everybody else is new in the last year or two. Justin Hunter, Juju, James Washington, and now Ryan Switzer.
Yeah.
Which means you only really have four wide receivers.
I mean, Ryan Switzer, he's got some potential, but he only has four. He had four catches last year, so that's not – you really don't know what you got going on back there. I spoke too soon when I said I didn't have anything to say about the running backs. You know that while this podcast is being recorded, Le'Veon Bell still isn't even in the city of Pittsburgh. Marquise Pouncey and a lot of people seem to be adamantly suggesting that he'll be in Pittsburgh by Wednesday, which is when the actual practice week starts. But I don't know. That guy held out. Man, you could have some issues. Although I wouldn't feel like it's a total disaster. I don't think it's going to happen. But if it did, I do sort of feel like you're in okay hands with James Conner and the Riddler and Samuels.
Well, I can only worry about the guys that are in camp, as Mike Tomlin, I'm sure, would say. If Le'Veon doesn't show, I'm not sure how this works. Do you not have him on the roster and bring Fitz back? So you have four. Do you even care that you have four running backs, or is you can just go into the season with Connor, Ridley, and Samuels?
They go with three, and the assumption is once Le'Veon gets added to the active roster, the Riddler or Samuels will get dropped down to the practice squad, or the Riddler will get released. We don't know which one that'll be, so that will be interesting to see too.
I'm just checking as you speak. If
Le'Veon doesn't get there.
Okay, but Le'Veon's already on the active roster. He's been named to the active roster. That's
right.
My question.
Well, he's on the depth chart, right? It's kind of weird.
No, he's on the active roster.
He carries a roster exemption, which is it's some exception for him.
Is that like
the answer is no? They don't dress four running backs for any games.
Okay, I was just wondering, is that like our rugby player exemption, Scott?
Similar, but for like a good player. You want to get into the Browns game? I mean, we could go all day. There's no other real big surprises. It is nice to see that some undrafted free agents got onto the team with Ola Adeniye at outside linebacker, the mini James Harrison. That's pretty cool.
Actually, there's breaking news about Ola. He's on injured reserve now. He's been dropped in reserve, and Nat Barraha has been brought in.
Yeah. Ola will be back in 6 weeks, he said.
Sure. If you have to sit on Twitter the entire time if you want to know what's going on right now.
You do.
It doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I want to move on to the Cleveland game, which we're facing on Sunday. First game of the year. Cleveland is absolutely revamped. Seven new players on offense, five new players on defense. And these guys, I actually went through this on defense. There's a rookie and four second-year players. I mean, there's a lot of youth on this team, but a lot of talent.
And they got Turd Haley as their offensive coordinator. I think that's as big of an addition as anybody else almost. I mean, so they're just getting off Hard Knocks. They are super vamped up. Obviously, they got Baker Mayfield in the draft. They got Tyrod Taylor. They brought over LeRon Landry. Wait, jeez, not LeRon Landry. That guy had a upper body Jarvis. That was 6 feet wide. We're talking about Jarvis Landry. And they got some guys who have added some attitude. And I'm sure they got an offensive coordinator who will add a scandal or two and some drunken incident in Cleveland bars. But so what I'm trying to say is they got attitude and they think they're good now. And I got to be honest, they got a ton of talent. I mean, that's how the league works. You suck as bad as the Browns do. We try to give you players. And granted, they only have about half of their draft picks from the past 3 years, if that, not even. But they got some real players. And this team with DeShone Kizer should have beat the Steelers in the opener last year if it weren't for Antonio Brown literally taking over the game, taking the team and putting it on his back, though, and leading them to the promised land. So I think the Steelers will be more prepared for a slow Le'Veon start in this first game, but it would be an upset if the Browns won this game, but it wouldn't be shocking. That being said, I feel like the Steelers maybe were sleeping last year and they might be a little bit more prepared for them, especially with all the press around the Browns and the familiarity.
Yeah, speaking of the Browns and first game jitters or first game win or loss, I mean, it is a very difficult first third of the season. Opening with the Cleveland Browns, moving to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to take that for granted, as much success as we have, but then going to Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Falcons, Cincinnati. Yeah.
The whole schedule is brutal this year. I don't know where the Steelers rank in strength of schedule, but the only, I mean, there's really no games on here when you're looking through it that are easy. So you got to get the one against the Browns to start. I mean, you're basically playing at home, at Ben's home in Cleveland there, where he is the father of that stadium. And you got to get it going. I do think the Steelers will win, but, man, they got a lot of talent. Also, the guy to be watching in this game is Myles Garrett for the Browns, the defensive tackle who was taken, or he's basically Atlas, the guy who carries the globe on his shoulders. That's basically Myles Garrett. He is now looking like the embodiment of talent that is required to become a number one overall pick in the NFL draft. He has been dominating in the preseason, and he's going to be coming out ready to try and tackle Ben, which he's obsessed with doing.
As acknowledged by Alejandro Villanueva.
Indeed.
I don't know if you saw the interview. He did say, somebody asked him about the roster cut down. He said, look, I only have one worry on Sunday. It's number 95.
Yeah. Well, he's right. That's going to be difficult because that guy's a beast.
Hey, and, look,
you know, Todd Haley's got some familiarity. So
we are on the precipice of something we've been waiting on for months. So we're very excited about kicking off our regular shows where we can talk about games instead of fake games and rumors that don't turn out to be true.
And we really appreciate
backup quarterbacks. It'll be interesting because there are guys who are injured who are going to come back onto the roster. So it'll be interesting to see who drops off of the current roster. Okay, you're nodding. I don't have any more analysis about this, but we appreciate you listening to the Steelers Outpost podcast. We do this each week. We get it out by Monday, Labor Day, so we did get out Monday this week. If you haven't already subscribed, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please tell a friend. So we are trying to make this show as informative and entertaining as possible, and we'd love to get your feedback. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Leave us a note on our website, SteelersOutpost.com, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, the first game of the 2018 season, thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Woohoo! Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.